Come on, let's welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. All of you on Facebook Live as well, we welcome you from wherever you're at today, especially to our campuses, our campus pastors. Merry Christmas to all of you. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And each week I get the opportunity not just to be here at North Campus, but to all of our different campuses as well now as around the world. We're glad you're there today. And I believe that God has something special for you. So let's get ready to receive what it is that God has for us today. We talked last week, we began with this subject of sights and sounds. Now, how many of you know there are a lot of sights and sounds that are happening right there? There's bells ringing, horns honking, people shoving. All right, we won't go into all of that. There's all kind of things that are happening in this Christmas season. And as I begin to prepare for this series, normally, you know, you start at the beginning of December and you work your way up to the baby Jesus and you celebrate that and then you move on. And this year, we're kind of doing it a total different way. I didn't start it till last week, and I'm actually taking this series into the first week of January because I begin to look at the different aspects of the people that were involved in this story, and it really is an exciting story to look at. Last week, we looked at Joseph, and I talked to you about Joseph's challenge, how that when he found out Mary was pregnant, how that it was troubling to him, the scripture says, and he began to try to figure out how to put her away and do all these things. And I talked to us about how that this time of year, for a lot of people, it's exciting, it's wonderful, but for others of us, it's kind of tough. You've gone through a loss. There's some things that are not lined up the way that you want them to. And we talked last week about how Joseph handled that and how that we can handle it just as he did. You can go online and look at, watch that or download it, however you want to do that. Today I'm going to talk about Mary. And here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about Mary's call. Last week we talked about Joseph's challenge. It's a preacher thing. You got to, you know, get the C's in there. So this week's going to be on Mary's call. Next week's going to be on Simeon's culmination. And then the first week is going. I'll figure out what the wise men are doing by then. All right, but anyway, so we're looking at this whole thing, and so I want to talk today about the call or the assignment that she had on her life, but as well as the assignment you and I have on our life. Let me kind of give you a definition of a calling first of all before we jump off into this. A calling is God's personal, okay? It's God's personal, individual invitation to carry out the unique task he has for you, all right? It's not everybody else. Nobody else can grab a hold of Mary's call and say, well, I'm called to be a virgin to give birth, and we're going to go, no, we know what you've been doing. Don't be religious right now, okay? We're going to figure it out real quick. You're not Mary. It's not for you, all right? We used to sing that little song in Sunday school that says, every promise in the book is mine. That one's not yours, all right? Several others aren't yours either, by the way. But anyhow, as we begin to look at this, the assignment that she's given, the call that she has given in her life, and the book of Luke, the first chapter, and we'll be going there in a few minutes, kind of lays out how that Mary comes to this moment where she's just kind of minding her own business. She's just going about. She's a young teenage girl, and as she is just one day in her house, all of a sudden an angel shows up. Now, I don't know about you. Can we for a minute forget that we've heard this story for, you know, 7,000 times? Could you for a minute put yourself into that place in that room just for a minute and not know that there's going to be somebody? You got the door shut, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's somebody else in the room. Now, I know you would immediately break out, you know, in prayer and intercession and, oh, yes, Lord. I would jump out the window. All right? One of the things that you find over and over again in Scripture is when an angel shows up, one of the first things that it says is fear not. There's a reason for that. You're in a room by yourself. Somebody shows up. It will mess your day up. All right, so you got to figure all that out. And so this angel shows up and begins to talk with Mary and begins to talk to her about the assignment or the call that God has on her life and how that she is going to live that out. Now, here's what I want to say to each of us today. The Bible makes a statement. It's one of those verses that for years has been confusing to me. I'm not sure that I have it all figured out even at this point, but here's what the scripture says. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. We're going to see today, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe that God calls everybody. All right? But we're going to see in this story today that you have to respond to that call that God has on your life if you want to see your destiny lived out. Now, here's what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that each and every one of us have something great to do for the world and for the kingdom of God. I believe that God has put a seed of greatness down inside of each and every one of you. I believe that you weren't just created to breathe up somebody else's air and one day lay down and die. Aren't you glad? Right? I believe that God has put something inside you that He wants you to fulfill a destiny. He wants you to live out something that is above and beyond what you can do by yourself. Here's what I have found out through the years. If I can do it by myself, it probably wasn't the call that God had for my life. God always calls us to greater things. God always calls us to those things that in the moment are quite intimidating, but if we will allow ourselves to move into what it is that God calls us to, we will begin to see His goodness and His glory upon our lives. One of the aspects, let's just get into it. The 28th verse is where we'll begin in this story, Luke chapter 1. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly, do you see that next word, favored? Would you say that word with me? Favored, highly favored, the Lord is with you. There are some things that I believe that God's call or God's assignment always have for your life. The first thing is it always has His favor on it. Now, one of the things we talk about here at Love and Truth Church, and it's not grammatically correct, so all of you English teachers just go ahead and give me an F, all right? But here it is, favor ain't fair. Come on, say that. Favor ain't, I know it breaks some of your jaws. Come on, let's do it. Favor ain't fair. It's just not fair, all right? You say, well, Pastor, what is favor? Favor, one of the definitions of favor is demonstrated delight. Most places that you read the word grace in Scripture, you could also translate it as favor, that the favor of God has appeared to man. Not just the grace, it's His favor. It has come into our life, and that favor from God makes all the difference in the world. So when God assigns you to something, when God brings you to a place, what He does is He doesn't just leave you there. He comes along in that moment and He places something on you, and other people look at you and they go, well, that's not fair. And you don't need to apologize. Can I talk to some of you? You don't need to apologize for the favor that God has placed on your life. See, favor is divinely orchestrated. You didn't do it. You didn't make it happen. God showed up, and through His gifts that He has placed upon your life, He began to do something that you were not capable in and of yourself to make come to pass. I believe with all of my heart that there are some things within sight of some of you today that if you would only allow the call of God to grab a hold of you today, you say, Pastor, you're supposed to be talking about little baby Jesus in a manger. We'll get to Him. But before we get to Him, we got to get to you, because before baby Jesus can show up, somebody has got to step into their assignment. Somebody has got to step into their calling. Somebody has got to say, I am willing to step into my destiny to see what it is that God has called me to do that nobody else can do. And here's the sad truth. If you don't step in to what it is that God has called you to do, the world is going to be worse off because you did not fulfill the assignment or the call that God has for your life. See, here's the deal about favor. Favor is an exception to the rule. All right? It doesn't line out. You cannot map out favor. You can't say, okay, 2 + 2 = 4. No, with favor, it's 2 + 2 = 7,000. I mean, it explodes at math. It goes into ways that you can't even begin to understand, because God says, look, with you, you can do a little thing, but with me, all things are possible. We were having prayer here a couple of weeks ago on Saturday morning, and I really felt impressed before the service time that we were going to pray at 9, that the Lord wanted us as a church to begin to ask for impossible things again. Because I think that we have started settling for just, well, Lord, could you do this? And it's all manageable things. The Bible says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or... Come on, my brain can go places, people. Anybody think some crazy thoughts? I mean, I can think some thoughts that would just mess your world up. I won't even tell you some of the thoughts that I think. And yet the Word of God says that God is able to do even above what you can think. So there's got to come a place where we begin to ask God. And I challenge some of you, even in this moment today, to begin to ask God for greater things, for things that seem impossible in your mind, but God has called you. He's placed his anointing upon you, and you say, you know what? I believe that God's able to do something on my behalf that doesn't make sense to anybody else. Amen? See, favor can be God's reward for our obedience. The book of Isaiah says this. It says, has not my hand, this is God speaking, has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord. Then he goes on and says, these are the ones I look on with favor. Now watch who they are. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. God says, look, if you will be that kind of a person, I will begin to bring preferential treatment. I will begin to do things on your behalf. Now, I don't know about you. Can I tell the truth? You all right? I know it's Christmas week, but you ready? I don't mind being called to the front of the line. All right? Sherry and I just went to New York, and we were seated not in first class. But right before we got there, we got bumped up to first class. I didn't say, oh, no. Please put me in the back by the toilet. I'd rather stay back there. When they said, first class premium, come on, I walked up there like I was somebody. This is my ticket. I didn't tell them I got bumped up. My ticket said I was now premium. And listen, you didn't do anything to get it. You didn't do anything to get to the place where God says, okay, you're this, that. God just says, I'm going to give preferential treatment to you because you are my child and I decided to do it. Here's the deal about favor, and we'll get out of it. God's favor dramatically changes our circumstances. We've heard it for years. Joseph went from the prison to the palace in one fell swoop because favor came on his life. Look at what favor does when it comes in your life. So when God calls you, when he gives you an assignment, he always places his favor there. But look in verse 29 and verse 30 because it says Mary was greatly, you see that next word? Troubled. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found, there's that word again, favor with God. Here's the thing about God's calling. Not only does it always bring his favor, but when God calls you, it's troubling. In fact, if you feel like God calls you to do something and it's not troubling, it's probably not God calling. Because God always calls you to do stuff and you go, wait a minute, you want me to do what? Right? I remember years ago when God began to deal with Sherry and I about coming to Jackson, and it made no sense at any level. You know, we were comfortable. We'd been there for a long time. Things were good, great church, everything happening. And God began, and I'll be honest with you, I was troubled. Why? Because it just didn't make sense at the moment. I'd had some offers that were much, in the sense of climbing the ladder and whatever, that were much greater, much better, seemed like. And all of a sudden this, and I'm saying, come on, God, what are you doing? Why? Because I was troubled. I don't mind telling you. You know, we had a house that was paid for, and we were in good place and kind of just hanging out and enjoying life at that moment. And God says, here's what I want you to do. And I just went, you know, let me show you why. Why is it troubling? It's troubling because it's out of the ordinary. It's not the ordinary. Sir, when the angel shows up, that's not ordinary. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know it's God calling me instead of the enemy tempting me? Well, a couple of ways. One is the Bible says that my sheep know my voice and they will not hearken to another. All right, let me do it this way. When I was a kid growing up, and I know this was, you know, in pioneer days for some of you, but when I was growing up, during the summer, I would literally leave at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Whenever I got up, I'd be gone till lunchtime, come back for lunch, get back on my bike, and I'd be gone all afternoon. But there was a certain time, you're in the neighborhood, and you would hear. I'd first of all hear my mom's voice. Now, what your mom's voice meant is it'd be good if you came home. But when I heard my dad's voice, and especially when I heard all three names, when it wasn't just Eddie come home, when it was William Edward Couples, you know, I came running, not to the altar. I just came running to the house because I knew I better get there quick. Why? Because I knew that voice. See, in your life, you know the voice of your father. Also, here's the deal, and we'll talk about this in a minute. The devil never calls you to do anything that glorifies God. He's never going to say, hey, I want you to do this to build the kingdom of God. He's always going to tell you, do this to build yourself up, et cetera, et cetera. The second reason that it's troubling is that we are uncertain of the outcome. Right? How's this going to end? How's it going to come to pass? I've found through the years, and I was reading a few years back, and a writer said, he said, in faith, you're only about 80% sure at any time. All right, because it's kind of like, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place. It's in this moment that you've got to say, okay, wait a minute. Although it's troubling, I've got to be willing to follow the leading of the Lord because I think God is calling me to do that. Here's the third thing. Look in verse 31. Verse 31 goes on and says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. Verse 35, he goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will come on you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One that will be born will be called the Son of God. Now, here's what you have to understand. When God calls you, the call of God is always supernatural. You say, what do you mean by that? It is his power, it is his anointing, it is his fullness that's going to take you where you need to go. If you can do it without him, he didn't call you. All right, let me talk to you a minute. When I talk about your calling or your assignment in life, I'm not necessarily talking about your job. Okay, it can be your job, but it may be that it has nothing to do with your job, what your calling from God is. God has called you to make a difference. Your calling may be to minister in prison. Now, hopefully that's not on the back side of the doors. Think about that. All right? Hopefully they will let you back out when you're done ministering that day, okay? Some of you have tried it the other ways. Let's not do that again, okay? It can be different things in our life, but we've got to know that there was this moment that I received this call. J. Oswald Sanders, who wrote years ago, said this. He said, if a man or woman is called of God, it doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances may be. When you're called of God, if you say, well, if God called me to do this, it's going to be easy, then you didn't read the book. No, this book, the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, what you find is in the Bible, right, in the Word of God, most of the people who God calls go through some stuff. They go through some things. It's not just, okay, everything's wonderful. Again, read Joseph. It's wonderful. I had a dream. Yeah, the problem with the dream is it doesn't tell you about the pit. It doesn't tell you about Potiphar's house, and it doesn't tell you about prison. You just see yourself going from daddy's house to the palace. But there's some intervening years that are going to be in your life. Everybody, let's just do this for a minute. Everybody wants to have the high call. We want the glory. We want the power. We want the anointing. The problem with this is that we don't understand that there is a cost to everything that God does in your life. You have to be willing to lay down your life, take up his cross, and follow him if you are going to have what he wants you to have in your life. And so that's why many are called. I got a call. I can do this. I got some things that I believe God's called me to, but the chosen part is moving in into fulfilling this. See, here's the deal. God's call always requires him to see it fulfilled. You understand what I mean by that? Well, one of the things I do, you say, what do you do when you go behind that stage back there? We talk about stuff, whatever. The last thing I do before I walk out, without exception, is, God, if you don't show up today, it's going to be a mess. I just said it. I just told him, Lord, you got to show up, because if you don't show up, I don't care how much I've studied, doesn't matter, you know, how many drums we had on stage today. None of that's going to matter at the end of the day. If the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, I can't fulfill it. But here's the deal. If God shows up, then I can fulfill the call, the mandate that God has. Here's what I know. Your call that God has for your life births God's plan, all right? Don't miss that. The call on Mary's life birthed the plan of God. It brought it into existence. And what we have to do is we have to come to that place of saying, I am called by God. I have an assignment from the Lord. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what it's going to look like, but here's what I know. I know that he who has begun a good work in me, he will complete it. He will bring it to pass. I am going to see God's handiwork on my behalf, leading me into everything that it is that God has. Look in verse 32 and verse 33 as we just kind of work through this passage. It goes on and says, speaking of Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, this is where we kind of separate the wheat from the chaff a little bit, all right? God's call is always about establishing God's kingdom. All right? Let me kind of break that down. God's call. Have you ever seen somebody, you know, they've been saved, I don't know, 30 minutes and they had a vision or, you know, whatever from God, and they went out and got a card printed. You know those cards. And you have to have both sides of the card because it starts off Reverend, Bishop, Potentate, Apostle, Pope, and then you turn it over on the other side and it's got about 18 other titles to tell. Am I the only one who's been living this long, all right? And they come in and they want to have, I've got a word. Through the years, it's been interesting. Some of you who've been around for a while have heard me say this. It was interesting to me that when we were in the Holiday Inn, nobody had a word for our church when we had 35 people. Nobody was calling saying, hey, I'd like to come minister at your church. It was interesting. All of a sudden at about 400 or 500, that all kind of people were having words from God for us. And my question was, where were you in the Holiday Inn? Where were you at Hamilton Hills? Where were you back in the day when, you know, it wasn't pretty then? We didn't have it all together. We still don't, but we at least got a few things together now, right? And so what we have to understand is that God's call is never about you strutting across the stage of life. It is always about establishing his kingdom, his righteousness. Those two verses, all they do is talk about the kingdom of God, the power of God, the righteousness of God. God's purpose on this earth could only be fulfilled by mankind, all right? Understand that, and I'll be quick with this because I need to close, but understand today that from the very beginning in Genesis, the earth was given to humanity. And because of that, God had one way to enter this world. And the only way that he could enter this universe was to become as one of us. He had to become flesh and blood and come to this earth and live as a human being, because it was only going to be humanity that had the ability to buy back what we gave away in the Garden of Eden. And so I don't have time to go into that, but understand that Jesus Christ came as a baby to fulfill the mandate that God had given to us. All right, Jesus asked this question, and I'll throw it out there. Jesus asked his disciples, and he said to them, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" I don't think that that is like, "Oh no, man, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, get us out of this mess. We wouldn't even." Listen, can I just say this to you? Some of you need to quit buying books. Come on, I was around in 88 when there was 88 reasons Jesus was coming in 88, and he didn't. And then 89, I think we added one, and so he was coming in 89. And then, you know, I don't know, I'm going to mess with some of your worlds. A little while ago, we had blood moons, and we was going to have... Listen, I've lived long enough and pastored long enough to see several antichrists die so far, so, you know, it's... Quit trying to get out of here. God created you for the earth. God made you as a human being to live on this earth, to have dominion on this earth, and to rule on this earth. He has given us the ability. Well, I want to go to heaven. You'll get there. It'll happen one day. But he has given you an authority, and he has given you a calling upon this earth. And if we don't fulfill that calling, and I know it's not easy. I know it's not what you want to do sometimes. Sometimes. I don't want to be a pastor. How you like that? There was never a moment in my life and I said, "Oh, if I could do anything I wanted to do, I want to be a pastor." Now, I thank God that I'm a pastor daily, but I never wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be a businessman, and I made a deal with God. "God, if you'll let me be rich, I'll pay double tithes. Work with me." All right? And he said, "No, I want you to be a pastor." And I said, "Really? Me? God, do you know me?" And as much as some of you think you know me, you don't. And so I know me. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I'm calling you to this. Now watch this. Verse 38, we'll close. Here's Mary. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Here's the fifth aspect, and probably the greatest, of the call, the assignment that God has. It is dependent on your response. The baby that's going to be born in a manger is dependent on Mary saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." See, in each and every one of our lives today, those of you watching as well as those of you here, God has a call. God has a purpose. God has a destiny. And here's where we get to the baby Jesus. You waiting for it? He sent his only begotten son to be born in a stable, to be wrapped basically in burlap, with a young teenage mom and a carpenter for an earthly dad. But at the moment that that child was born, something shifted in the heavenlies, and angels cracked through into a dimension and began to talk to shepherds and began to declare that there was one who was born in Bethlehem, and that he was going to save all people. But that one who was born in Bethlehem would have never been born if somebody had not accepted the call for their life. And my word to some of you today is that there are some people in your world, there are some situations that are around you that are never going to change and they're never going to be better. You say, Pastor, it looks so insignificant. Yeah. A dirt poor family that can't even afford proper care for a newborn babe. It looks so insignificant. And we look at our lives and we judge ourselves by others who have done such great things, we think, and yet God looks at us and he says, I've planted something inside you. I've put a call on the inside of your life. And you can answer that call and you can say, Lord, let it be to me as I am in this moment. Because really that's what lordship means. Because by and large we love accepting him as Savior, but do we really accept him as Lord? See, here's the deal. My response determines God's action. God will not force you to fulfill his assignment, his call for your life. He'll show up, he'll knock on the door, he'll keep coming back. He'll send his only begotten Son, who lives 33 and a half years and at that moment is put on a cross and dies for our sins, who ascends back into the heavenlies and sits down at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. But he's done all that he can do. Now it's up to me, now it's up to you. See, we're all called to some things, and I'm done. And we're called, first of all, to salvation. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The baby that was born in a manger came for one purpose, and that is to save you from your sins. And so you're called to salvation. And if your life is not in that place with God that it needs to be today, the greatest gift that you can get, not just this year at Christmas, the greatest gift you can ever get is the gift of salvation. He's paid the price. All you've got to do is receive. But not only are we called to salvation, we're also called to service. Once I come to salvation, then I am to serve. Then I am to live out. What would happen in just America? Let's forget the rest of the world. What would happen in America if the church, if those of us who are believers would lay down all of our ideologies and all the reasons that we don't like each other and we don't like certain things and certain people and we really begin to live like Jesus lived? And he said, wait a minute. Hey, guys, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Racism would fall, classism would fall, sexism would fall, every kind of ism that there is would fall if the church really began to live out our service to the King. Because again, remember, your call, your assignment is not about you. It's about establishing his kingdom. And he said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today as I close, I challenge you, look at your life and figure out, am I living my assignment? Mary's call changed the world. What will my call do in this moment?